Welcome back. My next guest is a spry looking Nestor J. Aparis. You're here at 1570 AM WNST. Nestor, welcome in.
I shave once a week, just like I did when I was 16.
Looking good, man. You look like you're 35 years old today, which is a good thing, right?
It's Pittsburgh week. Everybody's got to be younger in Pittsburgh week. Everybody's got to work a little harder. You know, team's 8-4 going up to the Berg and backup quarterback. This is a mess, right? Like, I've been talking about this all week in regard to drafting a quarterback that runs in the linebackers, right? Like, nobody liked those questions that I asked. And I'm thinking to myself, this is the real seriousness of it. It isn't that he might get hurt. He will get hurt. And then how many Decembers, how many Januaries are you going to have some semblance of 90% of you? Not 100%, because nobody's healthy in the NFL this time of year. Just ask anybody. But I tell you what, Joe Burrow looks healthy right now because he's not getting hit. Josh Allen, if he wasn't running into linebackers, would be healthier right now. Tom Brady, tell me the last time Tom Brady was injured in December.
You know what? I'm at a loss for words there. Never.
Well, that's what allows him to excel in January.
Yeah.
Right? Literally.
You know, I saw the game the other night against the Saints. Two touchdowns in the last 5 minutes and 27 seconds, which I was at the stadium Sunday, Nestor. 7 minutes to go, a lot of people left the game. This is a different crowd nowadays at M&T Bank Stadium. When the offense was on the field for the final drive, they were cheering for the offense. They kept putting up on the Jumbotron, quiet. You know, the offense is working. This is a different crowd coming to M&T Bank Stadium these days, Nestor. And we'll talk about, of course, Lamar and his injuries and whatnot, but the whole vibe at the stadium has changed.
Well, people like me are gone. My wife's gone. She's not screaming on third down anymore, and she screamed every third down for 19 years. So, like, I don't – those people that are gone, I can't speak for them. I can only – I never wanted to leave. So I want to make that really clear. There was never a point where I thought we're not going to buy our tickets. I thought it was more like a civic obligation, a community thing, where even when my wife would leave at halftime or it would be soaking wet out there, it just wouldn't be a good time, or moving out to the county, which I did this year. I mean, when it was 8 blocks away, we went all the time. But I'm also seeing ticket prices, right? Like, when tickets are $15 and $20 2 hours before the game, who would buy ahead? It's kind of like buying an Orioles season ticket. Like, unless you really want an autograph or the orange carpet, or you care that much about where your parking is, or you're a little older and, you know, moving slower and getting near the stadium, whatever. I'm thinking, you go to baseball, like my dad, I mean, in the 70s, we went to baseball games when the weather was good.
Right.
The pitching was right. That Happy Days of Laverne and Shirley weren't on TV that night, you know, the night when you had something else to do. And the Ravens have absolutely become I can go to the game whenever I want to go to the game, right? Like, and even a playoff game, if they have a playoff game here, all right, so it might be $50 more, $25 more than you want to spend, but over the course of the season, my wife and I are season books for $3,400. I mean, I saved a week in the Caribbean, you know, a vacation for the 7 or 8 days you would go to a Ravens game. For that $300 a day, I can go have a vacation anywhere, right? So and I'm seeing every game. I'm not seeing it as well, by the way. I'll never make the case that you can see the game better on TV, because you really can't see the game.
It's a different game. But Nestor, on Christmas Eve this year, you can wake up here in Baltimore, and if you want to go see the Ravens and the Falcons, you can probably wake up that Saturday morning and get a ticket for $16-$20. 50% of the stadium will be empty and sit virtually anywhere you want to sit.
Do you really think that few people will be there? I mean, especially at that price point? Is that where we are?
We had that price point against the Broncos. And the Broncos were, I don't know, are they a better team than the Falcons? But my point is, it's the same. It's going to be the same. Whether they beat the Steelers or not, the same fans are going to show up on the 24th that showed up, you know, last Sunday. So
amount of people who are the same people who go to every game.
Yeah. But
people went to every game was 92% of the fan base for 15 or 20 years. Exact people every week. Yeah. Now it's, I don't know who's at the game. I really don't know who's at the game.
I have an associate of mine who's got four little kids and nice young man. He said, "Hey, I'm thinking about buying Raven season tickets. Should I buy the PSL?" I said, "Absolutely not." You know, first of all, he's a very busy person. He's going to go to two or three games a year. And I told him, and I showed him the ticket prices. I said, "Here, You can pick whatever you want to pick. Go to club level, ball out. You're going to save a lot of money if you don't purchase the PSL and you don't purchase the season tickets. There's really no good reason to make that type of investment these days to go see football at M&T Bank Stadium. And those are facts.
Well, let's start with the basic premises, and this is a sports premise. If we win, you'll come, right? Like, that's been the Orioles story ever since everybody left 20 years ago, which is the arrogance of, yeah, you'll be calling me for playoff tickets and all-star game tickets and world. You'll need me. You'll need the team. And I'm thinking the baseball team threw me out 16 years ago, and I've needed them for nothing.
And
Yeah, I
you're the
did.
customer. You're the paying customer to boot, right?
I didn't give the Orioles a lot of money back in the day. I mean, I'll be honest, I was never a
Okay.
season ticket holder for
Okay.
the Orioles. And it's not that I had any hard on about it. It's just that, and I didn't live downtown then. I'm talking about in the 90s. I went to games. I was a media member. I did afternoon drive every day. I would leave my studio. My studio was downtown for a number of those years, and I would go to games. Now, would I buy a ticket from time to time for my mother on Cal Ripken
Sure,
night or
you would.
what? I mean, I bought some tickets
Of
and I had
course.
access to buy tickets back then, but I was never a guy that wanted to spend $25 on a box seat. I was more like, I grew up in the bleachers. Just get me in the stadium. There'll always be a
But
place
you're
to
still a
sit.
potential customer. My point is you don't fire your customers. If you're an organization, if the customer chooses to walk away, it's one thing. But you don't fire your customers. You just don't do that. You don't
Wow,
tell
I
you
hadn't
don't
thought
you,
about that. Firing customers. I'm taking notes here, Dennis. You always
well,
make me smarter when I'm about to
Oh,
write some
likewise.
column.
Iron sharpens irons, but my point is you just don't fire your customer base. Because that reeks of arrogance. And you know what? Things come back around. It's whether it's karma or the universe making things right or the truth untwisting at some point, it comes back to you when you're not humble about what you have. If you're on top, eventually you're going to be at the bottom. If you're at the bottom, eventually you're going to rise back to the top. And it's how you treat people in those cycles that define who you really are.
Well, this is an interesting cycle for them, right? They're 8-4. They're going
It's
to
a
play
hell
with
of
a
a
backup
cycle.
quarterback again. They're lying about how long Lamar's out. So people were asking me, how long is Lamar out? Whatever Harbaugh says, I don't believe because
Look
he
at
lied
last
last
year.
year.
Look at last
Right,
year. Yeah, he's
right.
week to week. It's week to week. Week to week, and then the season's over with, and guess what? They shut him down for the season, right? It was obvious and apparent. So, like you, I'm not buying anything that comes out of there. I'm not buying at all. Whether it's Ronnie Stanley's ankle, whether it's Lamar Jackson's injury, you name it, I don't believe it until I see it.
There's a paranoia that comes with the Harbaugh administration that I don't want to say it's taken me 15 years. I mean, I knew John was paranoid in 2009. It didn't take me long, right? But the paranoia that goes into this and how the business operates and how the stadium's empty, and it's like everything else in that organization that, Chad Steele touches, that the obvious is never to be spoken about. So that when I talk about empty seats, Mueller looks around and doesn't see them. I mean, it's unbelievable. Like, I've sat there and said, Don, there's a line. Look at those. I don't see them. I don't
Hey,
see them. And
Ness,
I'm
look.
thinking to myself, you're a perfect PR guy.
Right.
Because, like, if you're not seeing the truth, if you're not seeing the lies, if you're not seeing the fact that they are coddling Lamar Jackson last week with the vulgar tweets, or the vulgar tweet, I should say, at some point. And I would think that John's getting nervous too, right? 15 years into this, because he doesn't know when daddy's going to come down with the gun. And now he's going to go hire Willie Taggart, right? Like, Taggart's going to be the offensive coordinator, right? What do you think of that? You don't like that?
I read a lot of things about nepotism and whatnot. And although it's true that we hire people that we know, we also have an obligation to look to find the best candidate for any position. And to me, when I have an opening, I look for within, but I also look for the best candidate. And sometimes your best candidate, somebody you've never worked with before, comes in with a fresh set of ideas. It's going to challenge you. It's going to push it. That's also going to maximize the talents of your quarterback if you're going to stay all in with Lamar Jackson. So yeah, there's a lot to unpack there with the Harbaughs for sure.
Well, and the safety of everybody in regard to 8-3, don't make the playoffs. 8-4 at Pittsburgh, at Cleveland, Atlanta. They better not lose to Atlanta on Christmas Eve. I mean, that will
Correct.
curdle everybody's Christmas ham and eggnog, right? And then after that, Pittsburgh's coming in here. And then after that, they got to go to Cincinnati and play the best team that they have left on their schedule.
Right.
So I look at it and say, What's going to get him into the playoffs? What are the Dolphins doing? What are the Bills doing? Tiebreakers. I mean, look, I'm talking to Pittsburgh people. Charlie Batch is convincing me that the Steelers are still in the playoff race because of the games they have left and because they're playing better and because they're at home this week. And if they can trip up the Ravens this week and they win 14-13, doesn't matter. They're playing a backup quarterback. The Steelers think they're going to win this game. Mike Tomlin thinks they're going to win this game. Next week, Cleveland. Right? They have Deshaun Watson. The game's in Cleveland. They are looking to wreck the Ravens season and get after this backup quarterback and beat the Ravens. So if the Ravens wake up 8-6 with the
Yeah.
Falcons coming on Christmas Eve 2 weeks from tomorrow, right? Like
Okay.
if that happens at 8-6, we are teetering. What was the Jason Cole? One of my dancing on the edge of chaos. That
Yes.
was Jason Cole's line. My buddy Jason Cole, who asked Harbaugh if he was dancing on the edge of chaos by firing Cam Cameron. 10 years ago this week, Cam Cameron got fired, by the way.
See, yeah, well, see, here's what people don't factor in about teams that you're supposed to beat, whether it's the Jaguars, the Panthers, the Broncos. These teams have nothing to lose. We saw that with the Jaguars, right? They went for a 2-point conversion. They made it, they win. Wonderful, right? They don't make it, not a big deal, right? They're still
If
going to
they
have a
don't make it,
losing
the
season.
Ravens are 9-3, I mean, the
But it's not
Ravens
a,
could be 12-0, man.
but
Like
it's
they've
but
had
it's
leads in all these games.
I
They
hear
they've
you.
been good enough to win.
My point is, when they face the Atlanta Falcons, if I'm Arthur Smith, their head coach, I'm onside kicking, I'm doing flea flickers, triple reverses. My point is, I have nothing to lose. I'm playing loose, right? The pressure's going to be on the Baltimore Ravens. The win, the victory against the Atlanta Falcons, Nestor, it's not a given. Even if the Ravens are undefeated, anytime you play a team lesser than you, especially late in the season when they have nothing to lose, they can do whatever, and you've got to be prepared for whatever. And right now, at this point, will they have 9 victories? Yes, they will. The question is, will they be able to win one or two more games, divisional games that are going to be absolute dogfights? And you know what? The Steelers, they're playing better ball. They've won, what, 3 straight? You got a rookie quarterback still. It's going to be a slobber knocker of a contest, as it always is. But there's nothing guaranteed about this Baltimore Ravens squad. As you mentioned, 8-4, 8-4, 8-3 last year, missed the playoffs, 8-4 this year. And they have, I think, at this point, a 50-50 chance to miss the playoffs again.
Do you have any vibe on Snoop Huntley? I mean,
I
people
do.
talk to me about him, and I'm like, I don't think he throws the ball particularly well. He doesn't throw the ball better than Lamar, and we're not in love with how Lamar throws the
No,
ball all the
I
time.
disagree with that. We saw it last year. He has a stronger arm than Lamar. Now, people say, well, yeah, short range, but long range, he does it. No, it's not true. He has a very strong arm. He's a great kid. We saw the freshness in him when he replaced Lamar. He's healthier. He was what, 27 out of 32? Very accurate. I think he has a chance to disperse the ball more so than Lamar. We see Lamar force the ball to Andrews when he's triple covered. I think with Huntley, he has a connection with Isaiah Likely for sure. And also for him, it's redemption, Nestor. He went 1-3 last year because the defense was a sieve, right? Everybody was hurt. This year, the defense is stout. It's outstanding. Maybe they get Marcus Williams back, right? That's going to be a big difference maker on the back end. I do think with complimentary football, with a week's worth of practice as a starter, he has a lot to prove. And you know what? He goes up to Pittsburgh, beats the Steelers, he beats the Falcons. All of a sudden, you never know what's going to happen. But Lamar should have taken the money a long time ago. I think that's the biggest lesson here for everyone involved.
Okay, Lamar should have taken. I mean, Leonard Raskin said that earlier. The minute he got hurt, Leonard's texting me. He's like, "Insurance, insurance. Does he have insurance?" Because watching him walk as an 8-3 quarterback, walk off that field, down those steps, back up. I mean, I felt sorry for the kid. I really did. I felt like, man,
Oh, the second he went down clutching his knee, that's when I felt sorry for him. And you look at the Cardinals, right? They gave Kyler Murray a big contract. I think right now they're regretting it. You look at the Denver Broncos, they gave Russell Wilson a huge contract. At this point, I think they're regretting it, right? So to me, it's a cautionary tale. He's Lamar Jackson isn't signed. What's going to happen in the offseason? This is very, very fascinating stuff. The first up until the Giants game, Nestor, I think he was making money, right? But since the Giants game, he's been losing money.
Well,
Maybe.
since the pass in the Giants game, right? The pass that lost the game, right?
Exactly. So these things can go in a number of ways. But Bruce Laird said the other day that in the NFL, the big injuries, that's not what gets you. It's the smaller injury, the nagging injury. So we saw him have a quad last week. The week before was a hip. We saw him limping on the field, right? He's taken a lot of punishment for a 25-year-old quarterback, Ness.
He's taken a lot of punishment in week 12 every year.
He
And this was
has.
why the cautionary tale was on draft night. You're going to do something no one's ever going to do. You're Eric DaCosta. You're going to zig. Everyone else is zagging. We're going to have a different offense. We're going to make them play left-handed every week until every December comes and your quarterback's taking 200 hits every year. And only one of them hurts the pinky winky toe, which ended John Ogden's career. Like anything here. In this
Anything.
game, when you're taking on contact as a quarterback 200 times a year, I've never thought it was a great idea. And I thought maybe one year they'll navigate this and thread the needle and keep him healthy and be able to sit him out this time of year, right? They're 11-1 right now, and he's a little dinged up, and you got a 3-game lead in the division. You tell him take off through Christmas, go eat some ham, you know, go eat, make some cookies, you know. That's not where the team is. That's not where the team ever is. And I am worried, not just if they sign, forget the money. I don't care about Steve Bisciotti's money. He's got more of it than he needs. So giving Lamar Jackson $50 million, $60 million, $100 million guaranteed, $300 million, I don't care about any of that. I care about who's going to be on the field December 10th next year and the year after that and the year after that when Lamar's 26, 27, 28, 29, when he's run the ball 1,200 times, 1,500 times, 1,800 times. And it doesn't add up. It doesn't make any sense to me that you would have a quarterback that runs in the linebackers. I mean, there's a reason nobody else does it because the odds are your quarterback won't be standing up at Christmas time when you really need him, right?
Right, and there's two more pieces to this complex puzzle, Nestor. The first piece is if you're game planning against the Baltimore Ravens today, who on offense scares you? There's no AJ Brown, there's no Stephon Diggs, right? You have Mark Andrews, which is great, which you can double cover Mark Andrews all day long, but there's nobody on that offense that scares you that you have to game plan for.
Mark
That's
Andrews also isn't going to the house.
he's not
He may
gonna
move the chains,
he's
and that's
not, right?
bad, but right,
So
yeah.
who they have no one that you have to game plan for, no one that scares you. The second piece is the Greg Roman conundrum, I want to say. The guy was screamed at and cursed out on his way to his car after the game. We saw that on social media. There's a Stanford tie-in. They're interested in him. So is it the chicken? Is it the egg? It has Greg Roman maximized Lamar Jackson's talents and we've seen the ceiling? Or has Greg Roman minimized his talents and put Lamar Jackson in the box? That's something that we don't know, Nestor.
Well, here's something I know. And, you know, this will speak to how the offense operates. I've seen all sorts of quarterbacks, Dan Orlovsky, I think, and some other people showing their the patterns and saying that they're high school patterns, right?
Right,
Like,
that's correct.
well, maybe this is about Lamar running the offense. Maybe this is about Lamar still checking his arm, walking up to the line of scrimmage, getting plays in late. Roman's like, it's on me. John's like, it's on me. Maybe it's on Lamar. I don't know. We'll
Right.
find out. If the offense is operating more efficiently with Snoop Huntley, it would say to me that
Well,
this is a Lamar issue,
it
not a
did.
Greg Roman issue. Now, I will say this on Greg Roman. Whoever called the play for Prochet to throw the pass, and I know Harbaugh talked about that Monday as well. I would think that Harbaugh was in on that. This was not a surprise where like Harbaugh went down to Roman and said, "We ran a flea flicker there. What?" I think it was, "Hey, Greg, when we get in this situation, let's have Prochet throw the football." And then you say to Prochet, "If it's not there,
Yeah,
run,
if it's
eat the ball."
quadruple, if it's quadruple coverage down the field, don't do it, right? And
But
he's
if you're
throwing it
James
to.
Prochet and you get one chance to throw one football one time in your life, you're thinking, "I'm going to throw a
Oh
touchdown
my
pass. I'm not going to
God!
dirt the ball, right?"
Look, Joe Montana in his prime would have never been able to squeeze that ball in there. The defensive backs were like, "You want this? No, I got it. You take it. Go ahead." They were having an argument about who was going to pick off that ball in the end zone. That duck was up there for a very long time, and to me, it reeked of panic. Right? Instead of driving down there and getting at least a field goal, making a 9-6 game. Right? So that way, had it taken the points there, maybe they would have scored a touchdown. Denver would have had to score a touchdown at the end of that game versus a field goal, which they blew it when Russell Wilson inexplicably took off and ran with the ball instead of throwing it for 10, 15 yards down the field.
I'm figuring like by the fourth quarter, Bisciotti's got at least a bottle of wine in and maybe onto the second bottle. And he's sitting up saying the same thing I'm sitting up here, sitting drinking an iced tea, watching the game on the big screen, thinking, who's coaching this outfit? Who
Oh my
called that
God.
play? who agreed to the, at the 30-yard line with the greatest kicker on earth. I mean, it's a
Ask
9-3 game. The score is
Madden.
9-6. Don't take points off the board. And I'm thinking to myself, and I'm thinking, what does Pashotti make of this? Whose idea was this?
Oh, my God.
Well, I mean.
No, had they lost, that play would have been talked more, a lot more than you and I are talking about it right now. It would have been the story, why they did it.
It was awful. I mean,
never mind the loss, but I tell you
I
what.
I can't imagine a decision that I've seen this year that's such an egregiously obvious decision to not call that play in that circumstance with the backup quarterback in the game.
The offense ran a lot better the last three quarters than the first quarter under Lamar Jackson. That much I can attest to. Denver has a top three defense. They're a tough team to move the ball against all season long. Their offense is a mess, but that defense. So I thought the offense looked crisper with Huntley, who came off the bench cold, hadn't played all year. So I'm curious and excited to see what happens in Pittsburgh. I'm sure the Steelers are feeling the same exact way. They feel they got a shot at the playoffs. Ravens, this is a huge game. It really is. Never mind the Falcons game. This is a big, big game. You talk about a game that determines the outcome of your season. Man, oh, man. 9-4 is a lot better than 8-5.
You make me want to get in the car and go to Pittsburgh on Sunday, Dennis. Let's go, buddy. Come on.
I hope the nation sees you there for a number of reasons.
Well, time will tell.
You never know. You never know, right? Maybe said the farmer, right? It's a good thing. It's a bad thing. Maybe. We'll see. A lot
All
of times.
I'm going to say, and I said this to somebody, I said, I got friends everywhere. I got friends in Pittsburgh.
Hey, I have friends in low places. You know, an Essex kid like me, you never know who you're going to run into.
Middle River? You got friends in the Middle River? I'm just
Middle
kidding.
River, Dundalk, you know, the east side. Now I've got the west side covered, so it's a lot of fun, but no shortage of storylines in the NFL for sure.
Yeah, and seeing this kid play in Pittsburgh, that Charlie Batch said he's going to be the quarterback for a couple years here. You know that they're not that they're seeing strides in him. One stride would be having Ravens pelt on your wall.
He has four interceptions. Four touchdowns versus eight interceptions. This game will be won by the defense. Whoever turns the ball over, this is going to be a defensive battle. I don't see either team running the ball well at all. So it's going to come down to turnovers. It really is.
Well, then I like the Ravens in the game then, right?
I like our chances. We have the kicker. We have the defense. Roquan Smith is a monster. The Steelers will not run the ball against the Ravens. And I don't know. I haven't heard an injury report about Marcus Williams. It'd be huge if we can get him back.
Well, and I think Ronnie Stanley, you know, being back out on the field, even without Lamar, the notion that more
100%.
Protection for Snoop, running the ball better. But are we getting Ronnie Stanley at 80%, 90%?
I'd rather have him at 50% versus what they had after Sunday. I mean, it was a turnstile and three sacks in the first quarter. Not many quarterbacks are going to withstand that kind of punishment.
Well, that kid shouldn't be out of line. You're doing a disservice to Folele, put him on the field.
100%.
Really.
He's a right tackle at best, right? He's Orlando Brown Jr. 2.0. It took
Orlando. He's a right tackle as a project. He might be a right tackle.
And Orlando Brown Jr., he's had the most hurries from his position, 39 in the NFL this year, so that's not working out too well for him, although we do wish him the best.
We knew that.
He's a right tackle. We knew that.
We
knew that. He didn't have the feet, so.
You know who else knew that? Eric DaCosta knew that.
He knew that, 100%. Yeah, you want to go, let's see what I can get for you. Let's you know, I hate to lose you, kid, but let's see what happens, right?
So. Well, DaCosta has been brilliant about that part of it regard to Hollywood Brown. You don't want to be here? We'll deal you off. Yeah. We'll go get a center.
And Luke says it all the time. The problem, though, is, you know, when they let Hollywood go, they didn't replace him. They should have replaced him with another wide receiver, a top wide receiver.
Well, your point is, what scares the Steelers? Nobody's taking the top off the defense, and I'm not sure Huntley could get the ball there.
DeSean Jackson? I mean, come on.
Okay. Well, you got to get the ball to him.
If he can get on the field, first of all, if he doesn't pull a hammy doing warm-ups. That's always
– It is amazing he's 35 and still the fastest guy on the field, right? Like, that's kind of crazy.
It is super crazy, and the three fastest touchdowns this year were by Bateman, Jackson, and Duvernay. It's amazing that the Ravens have that kind of speed, but it doesn't.
I think
always
I had
translate.
This argument with Mark Messina once about, was it fast twitch or slow twitch muscles, that it can't be, you know, you're born with it, right? Like,
you're
literally
born with it. Exactly right, Nestor. I appreciate your time, thoughts, and expertise as always. You stay well. Keep doing great things.
Can't believe we didn't talk any World Cup, man. I got, you know, Argentina's in here, Brazil's in here. I mean, this is going to be, hey, the soccer tournament this weekend is going to be unbelievable.
All
and
right,
next
good.
Week, Tuesday and Wednesday. So, and we don't have a lot of soccer. I miss soccer on Wednesday and Thursday. My wife's like, no games. It's what are you gonna do? And I'm thinking, and somebody's like, it's 4 more years to the World Cup. I'm like, no, it's only 3 and a half because
Oh,
they're
there
playing
you
it
go.
late. So it'll
There
be
you
here
go.
any day now. So Dennis, have a great weekend, man. We'll
You
be
too.
reporting in after the Pittsburgh game with you on Sunday night.
All right, man. Stay well. There he goes, Nestor Aparicio here on 1570 AM. WNST. We'll take a break. Come back on the flip side.